Thank you very much, Jane. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information PDP Working Group Call on the 2nd of June 2015. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Jim Galvin, Rudy Vansnick, Sarah Bocchi, Justin Chu, and Yubo Phipps-Sethakathit. We have received an apology from Wenzai, and from staff, we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, myself, and Nancy Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed, and that means we can move into agenda point three, statements of interest, and this is something we need to ask each time, just in case somebody's statement of interest has changed since the last time we met. It was quite recently on Thursday, in fact, last week, and hearing nothing and seeing nothing, I'd just like to thank everybody who has turned up for this special meeting. It is very much appreciated to be able to do this at this stage, and it is a simple agenda. We literally only have the final report on it, and today, in fact, there's very little else to talk about, but what we will really focus on is the recommendations. We covered most of the other things, in fact, last week, and I think the correct order is to do the more important things first and brush up any bits and pieces. So what I have done is I've scrolled us down in version 4 as far as page 17, the whole way down, and I'm intending to go through the recommendations slowly, very, very carefully, and as we do it, we are really looking for three categories of things, and not necessarily in this order, but the way my mind works, I was tending to be looking for deletion. So if there's anything here that doesn't need to be here, can it go? I mean, I don't mean necessarily a whole recommendation, but additional words which aren't necessary, we always like to get rid of those. On the other hand, those things tend to be quite easy to spot. The things which are less easy to do are the omissions. So is there something we've been talking about and we really want to make a recommendation and we haven't? The situation there is that there is actually a short list of suggestions which follows the recommendations, that is something that we picked up last week, and I had a first go at drafting that, but as their status is less than the recommendations, I think we should stick with our order. And last but not least, we may decide that we want to promote a suggestion into a recommendation conceivably, but let's just see how we feel about that. Last but not least, we're talking about order, because obviously with things like this, I think people tend to presume that important recommendations come earlier than less important recommendations. So if the order is majorly different from that, then we may consider changing it. So it's those sorts of things that we'll be looking for. But as usual, feel free to stop me at any time. And I am so glad we took the decision to run this meeting, because I see Peter Green has just joined us as well. You're most welcome, Peter. Anyway, I'm just at exactly the right time, because I was literally that second about to start with the recommendations, or introductions having been completed. All right, so as usual, let us do the sort of thing that we have done a lot of during our calls over the last year and a bit. Preliminary recommendation one. the working group could recommend that it is not desirable to make transformation of contact information mandatory. Any parties requiring transformation are free to do it ad hoc outside the WHOIS replacement system. As outlined above, consistency would be an issue. Okay, so any comments about that? Well, I have a lot of comments about that, and so I'll try and work through them as systematically as possible. We don't get very far into it before I have a comment. In fact, the working group could recommend that it is not desirable. So straight away, we've got this formulation of words. I'm presuming that we are happy to run with could recommend that. This is especially a question for people who know more about policy, ICANN policy making than I do. So, I have an instinct that the wording here is quite important, and so I am now expressing my concerns. From a non-specialist like me, then actually I'm relatively happy with it, but it's just instinctively I feel it's a good thing to raise. Jim, would you like to pick that up?
Jim Galvin for the transcript. Just so I understand, Chris, I guess I had interpreted the use of the phrase could recommend that to simply be you were putting it here for the purposes of our discussion. Are you suggesting that this wording that's here now would be the final wording that appears in the final published document?
Thank you. Could recommend that could have several usages. In British English, as you possibly know, we never say anything straightforwardly. So, we are always using subjunctives and conditionals, and everything's very indirect. And so actually, as British English, this is this would be possible. However, in an international context, it may be that we need to be rather more direct and just come out with the indicative tense. Perhaps we say this working group recommends that. And I can see in the chat room, Lars is saying no more conditional. The could should go. So the suggestion is, and the thing about this is that it would be a global edit. So if we get rid of one could recommend, it means that they all become recommends.
Right.
And,
so
by all means, do continue, Jim.
Right. So thank you, Chris. So I kind of phrased it as a question, but I'll answer my own question and express an explicit opinion. I do believe that in this situation particularly, it is important as well as helpful for the working group to be quite direct about what it thinks its response is. And my personal preference would be that we state explicitly the working group recommends that, and then whatever the recommendation is, without putting any kind of qualifier in the front that could in any way suggest any ambiguity about the direction in which we should go. So, thank you.
Thank you. I can see Sarah is agreeing with us. Yes, no more beating about the bush. And Lars, in fact, in the chat room is saying preliminary should go, and even as British English preliminary, really. No, we would have to get rid of that. Now, what's Rudy saying? I would also prefer to remove could, but I'm not an English. Yes, you know, there are usages of the conditional tense where, you know, it's just a sort of a polite way of doing it. But here, I think we need to be direct. I'm personally happy with that. There is a, this is actually interesting because we should perhaps also have a bit of a glance at the paragraphs before these recommendations, because actually there could be things there which are not ideal. So yes, let's just have a quick look at page 16. Perhaps it's easiest if I read it quickly. Reliable automated transliteration is not available for non-alphabetic scripts and is unlikely to be available for a considerable time. Recognize the drafting. It's me. See study to all of this for further information. Many alphabetic scripts and syllabaries do not indicate all vowels or word boundaries and so cannot be losslessly transliterated. In all of these cases, manual transliteration will be required. Transliteration of alphabetic scripts would not indicate, for example, streets, roads, buildings, etc., which would ideally be translated. Sophisticated transformation tools which know when to transliterate and when to translate do not exist and are unlikely to exist soon. Oh dear. I probably shouldn't use a negative there and just say they don't exist. I think that is too direct. I think that there could be some exceptions, some minor exceptions somewhere, so I might put some sort of additional wording there. Manual transformation could solve some of the problems outlined above, but it is slow and expensive and should be conducted centrally to avoid consistency problems arising from transformation implemented in different ways by many actors. As regards accessibility, data in their own form, as long as they are machine readable, are easier and more consistently searchable. All right, I think I've only found one thing in that. But Rudy helpfully is picking something up. Unlikely to exist soon. Do not forget the timing of this report being approved is approximately a few months from now. Yes, unlikely to exist soon. That was my way of saying we'll be years or conceivably decades. Well, I was thinking more decades than years, although with the rapid progress of IT, one always hesitates to predict time periods because time seems to move more quickly in IT. Jim, would you like to pick up something?
Thank you, Chris. Jim Gallen for the transcript. Rather than saying unlikely to exist soon, might lean towards a phrase like I had a phrase in my mind and now it fell out. We don't know of any that are coming at this time. None are known to be coming at this time. Rather than trying to predict a point in the future, make a statement about the here and now is what I'm suggesting.
Yes, that's it makes life easier for us. Thank you very much. Let's do that. All right. I think that means that we're safe to go back to further quibbles of mine about the first recommendation. Now, what else rang bells there? The working group could recommend, or rather the working group recommends, that it is not desirable to make transformation of contact information mandatory. Any parties requiring transformation are free to do it ad hoc outside the WHOIS replacement system. Lars, would you like to pick up something there?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, obviously have as many or as few recommendations as we would like, and I was wondering whether we should here add something about the if it says here any parties requiring transformation are free to do so, whether we should add to that also and they're expected to carry the costs, because that's something that came up through the public comments, and I think something the group agreed on. It can also go one of the later recommendations. There could be a subsequent one, obviously, because we are supposed to deal with costs, but it could be something that features in this first recommendation already off the bat. I'm just putting it out. Thanks, Chris.
Yes, that's thank you, Lars. That's the most interesting suggestion. I also, you see, I'll be absolutely honest. I mean, as we've been doing this work, my stance has actually changed a bit. As we have become aware of more and more information on the subject, then you start off in one place and you develop. And certainly I'm looking at, are free to do it ad hoc outside the WHOIS replacement system? Well, yes, they are, but I just feel it's a little, I don't know, it feels a little bit too liberal in a sense. I mean, it's saying, yes, people are free to do this, but it's sort of, it's almost hinting that it's something that's easy to do, and actually it isn't. Rudy, in fact, in the chat room is saying at their own expense. Yes, so maybe that addresses both the criticisms, that if we put something expense in there, you know, they're free to do it, but you know, it may be expensive. And there's also a sort of feeling earlier on we got criticized, you know, for being too concerned about money. And almost within me, I mean, yes, actually, I am very concerned about money. I'm quite a tight person, if the truth be known. I don't like spending money unnecessarily, and I feel the same with public money. Not necessarily that this would be public money in all cases, but, you know, depending who gets involved. We might want to mention money, or maybe we mention it. We could also mention perhaps burden or something like that, because that then just indicates the sort of difficulty of it, which in some ways is actually more of a concern than the financial burden. It's just the sheer difficulty of doing it. I don't know whether, you know, should we perhaps be using burden rather than just expense? Is that getting us to a better place?
This last, Chris, if I may, I think it's a very good suggestion that the burden of translation should rest with the party requesting the information.
That sounds lovely. I'm just waiting to see what happens in the chat room, but I do like it. Yes. Okay. People agreeing, Rudy and Jim agreeing. Okay, lovely. I think we might just run with that. And now Sarah is saying, consistency would be an issue truly necessary. If we are recommending it as not desirable and at the requester's expense and not public, is the last sentence necessary? The last sentence desperately needs to go somewhere. Now, in a sense, I quite like having it there, because the thing here is that we are not saying what we are saying just because there's some sort of political reason or something like that. We are talking about the difficulty of doing something. And so if we are able to keep a reminder there that this is, you know, this is really the reasoning for it, because unless you spend substantial resources, you set up good standards, you make sure people adhere to those standards, it's a pain in the neck. It's just such a hard thing. If those things aren't done, and as a secondary matter, they're expensive things, but, you know, that's not so much what's motivating us, then you end up with a poor quality of data, and hence the sentence. Sarah, oh yeah, okay, there's a little bit of movement going on in the chat room, but let us wait a moment for that. Okay, I think that is actually the last, those were the last points I was going to raise about that first recommendation. I wonder if we can try the second one and see where we get. I think in the interests of saving time, I shall move on, but we can always go back and pick up other bits if necessary. I can see a couple of people are typing. All right. So, preliminary recommendation number two. The working group could recommend that any WHO is replacement system contemplated by ICANN should be capable of receiving input in the form of non-Latin script contact information. However, all data fields of such a new database should be tagged in ASCII to allow easy identification of what the different data entries represent and what language script has been used by the registered name holder. Okay, Lars, would you like to raise something there?
Thank you, Chris. This is Lars of the transcript. Yes, I think it might be useful in this recommendation to A, refer to the expert working group on international registration data that obviously has been working on this, and also refer to the new RDS. And so, you know, in line with the outcome of, in line with the technical capabilities of the RDS, the working group recommends, and then it might be useful also in line with what we discussed during the previous meetings to take the tagging out, obviously, and say that any data fields filled in non-ASCII characters should be, on the top of my head, but, you know, the language used in the field should be easily identifiable. And leave that, and then we can maybe put a footnote in that this is either due to the implementation team, and if this is, you know, difficult to be done, then and new policy work comes from this, and it should be put back to the GNSO. That's me, Jim.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So, yes, no problem at all with referring to the working group. Now, as regards the RDS, I mean, I was thinking that basically WHO is replacement system was our way of referring to that. I don't know whether we need to revisit that one.
I think the reason why it might be good to put that exact name in is so that we don't mix ourselves up with the expert working group that works on the replacement of WHO is and the data access and so on and so forth, what we talked about last week. So it helpful to be as specific.
Okay. Yes. That would seem to work. I was really hoping that the word tagged, you know, that tagged wouldn't go without somebody catching it. Yes, so we need to certainly to pick that up and our comments about, you know, that the language must be easily identifiable and refer it to the implementation team. I have a feeling I might have missed a couple of your points there, for which. Sorry, but by all means, when I do the redrafting later on, pick me up on it. Now, we've got, or now if you would like to, thank you. Okay, then in the chat room we've got Justine saying, any parties requiring such transformation are free to do it ad hoc outside the WHOIS replacement system at their own expense while ensuring their exercise meets their exact transformation requirements. Yes. When I'm drafting, I'll have a look at that at the same time and try and cover that one as well. And then Amma is saying, if our recommendations are meant to be implemented immediately, there's no need to really describe it as the who is replacement. Ah, yes, okay, so definitely not who is replacement. That may affect other parts of our document. Sorry for keeping you waiting, Jim. Would you like to bring something up?
Thank you, Chris. As I look at this now, and think about these recommendations, I'm struck at this point by the specific recommendation, implementation recommendation, that data be tagged in ASCII. I'm wondering if we should be quite so specific. I'm wondering if you can remember some of the discussion that we might have had about this point. I mean, certainly I'm all for tagging the data, but to be so prescriptive in what that tag should be, as opposed to, you know, there obviously should be a standardized table instead of identifiers. But do we need to be prescriptive and say that they should be ASCII? I'm not necessarily advocating for a change, trying to recover some of the discussion we may have had on this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. My instinct is to put something like, to put some sort of explanation of why marking of some kind is necessary. Tagging is maybe one useful technology. I guess that it probably is in ASCII, but no, you know, certainly we wouldn't need to prescribe that it has to be. So. Yes, I'm pretty sure I can draft something that covers those bases. And Jim is actually typing it, so you know it could be numbers. That's a very very good point, because it may be much more elegant, for example, number languages, and instead of having great long language tags, you just have 44 for British English or something like that. I don't know. Yes. All right. I'm fairly confident I can cover most of that, I think. Now, just before we leave it there, just a final look at it. Okay. Now I can't spot anything else. So, should we have a bit of a go at number three? The working group recommends that registered name holders enter their contact information data in the script or language or script supported by the language that the registrar operates in. This is well out of date, because we agreed that we would be using languages supported by the registrar, I think. May not even be the only change there. Slightly puzzled that some of this text has survived as long as it has, but the problem with proofreading is that one gets very tired of it and then one starts to miss things. Oh, yes, sorry, yes, it is there. Oh, I don't know. Supported by the language that the registrar operates in, that's the main thing. Registered name holders into their contact data in the... Okay. Ooh, perhaps we've got through number three with relatively little then. Jim, would you like to pick up something?
Yes, Jim, for the transcript. Thanks, Chris. I know we've come a long way around on discussions on getting to this particular recommendation and the wording here, so I feel a little bit bad sort of putting this out there at this point. But I guess I'm just I'm becoming less enamored with this the more I think about it with this particular recommendation. I mean, at the same time, we talk about users being able to enter the data, you know, in their language or script that they have. I'm concerned that I think what we're trying to do is try to find a way to speak to the relationship between a registrant and a registrar. At least this is what I think. So please, correct me if you think I've got the wrong picture here. And what I mean by that is, the registrant should only have to use whatever the registrant, you know, can use and they're skilled at. Not all registrars are going to support all registrants is kind of the question. And it feels like we're trying to find some interesting way to say that. And I don't know. The more I look at this and think about this recommendation, the less comfortable I am with it, and I'm actually almost more comfortable with just not having this recommendation at all. It's not clear to me exactly what it adds outside of the context of trying to find a way to talk about the relationship of between a registrant and a registrar. So I hate to ask for that at this point, but if there's a little more discussion we can have on that might help me understand better, I'd appreciate it. If I'm in a minority, I'm happy to just move on and deal with it, but that's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. I take your point that it isn't adding all that much, but on the other hand, the last time I did a piece to the GNSO Council, there was some amount of nervousness there because I think people were worried that suddenly all languages would be usable. Anybody could use any language, and the registrars just wouldn't be able to cope. So the reason for having it there may just be to remove that kind of fear. So I think I'm sort of slightly tending towards having it, I think, but I agree it doesn't add all that much. I'll just visit a couple of things in the chat room. I can see Emma's got his hand up, but I'll just cover these things and then we'll listen to that. So Emma is suggesting that we pluralize language. I think the best way of doing it is actually having the plural in brackets, because you might have a registrar that only operates in one language, but generally perhaps that there may be more than one. Then Rudy is saying at the end it is the registrar who offers a platform for registration based on their knowledge of languages. Absolutely, and Emma is agreeing with that. Sarah is saying yes, it seems to go against universal acceptance a bit. Yes. I mean, I think it's actually quite an interesting one. I mean, we very much want to get for example, IDNs, just working quite normally in all sorts of different contexts. But I'm happier with this sort of more gradual process of reform rather than obligating everybody to handle things they're not happy to deal with. That's probably the British disliking of revolutions coming out there. I think we're getting some agreement with this. And a couple of hands up. Emma, sorry, you've had your hand up for a long time.
Thanks, Chris. This is Samer. For the record, I agreed with you, but I'm not on the bit of British dislike of revolutions. I'm kind of in favor of those. I just wanted to address Jim's last comment. And Jim, I think you're spot on. I think the purpose of this recommendation is to really address the relationship between the registrar and the registrant. And the reason why I think it should be there and why I believe we put it there in the first place was to make sure that it is a decision of this working group, and I may be speaking out of place to be speaking on behalf of the working group, but this is my understanding, is that registrars should have the liberty to provide services as they see fit. And when I say they see fit, I assume that this would be based on how they understand the needs of their clients or their registrants. So as opposed to providing a recommendation that requires registrars to behave in a strict sort of fashion, providing a regulated form of services, this recommendation sort of allows them the flexibility to address the needs of the registrants in any way they can. And so when we say that the language or languages and script or scripts supported by the registrars, this in effect would leave the choice and decision up to the registrars. So for example, if you have a registrar in the Arab world somewhere and they in its desire to service its local community decides to support the Arabic language or script, it is up to them, and they can do so because they feel that this is what the registrants need. I don't see this recommendation as being one that is limiting a service or the flexibility required for registrants, but sort of more of an enabling recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. Couple of things going on in the chat room, and Jim is saying he understands the desire to protect registrars from the requirement of supporting all languages and scripts. There was certainly some nervousness at the council meeting, and not less because the way I expressed things wasn't very helpful during that meeting, but never mind. Anyway, and then Jim is saying, I think that that might be part of what is hidden in the recommendation. I'm wondering if we could say it differently, although I don't have a suggestion offhand. Okay. We can certainly do a bit of a... again, perhaps we need to be more straightforward with it and make it clearer why it's there. Maybe that's the solution. Jim, would you like to add something?
Yes, thanks. So you read my two comments from the chat room. Thank you for that, Chris. And I'm also thinking back. We've had the similar discussion in the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group, actually. And in our report, rather than making a recommendation to this effect, we actually have some text in part of the description which talks about the fact that we actually say, there may be languages or scripts a registrar may not support at their own discretion. In essence, this is kind of a business decision for the registrar. We do have that one sentence in there, what I just said. There may be languages or scripts a registrar may not support at their own discretion. It's actually words that we use. It occurs to me this recommendation, if we could, I just don't know how to make this into a recommendation, I guess, is my problem. I think I appreciate the goal that we have in mind here, and I'm wondering if having it in text somewhere so that the issue is covered, because I don't know how you say that, yes, a registrant should enter it in their language or script, and they should go find a registrar that supports that, because not all registrars will support them. So our recommendation is simply that registrars can choose the languages or scripts they're going to support, and thus, implicitly they're choosing which registrants they're going to support to enter their contact information. I think that's the principle we're trying to get at here, and please correct me if I'm wrong. It's awkward to try and make a recommendation to that effect, and I guess that's what concerns me. And I'm sorry, that's all I'll say on this point. I'll let the majority speak. Thanks.
No, thank you, Jim. I think that's I think it's very, very well put, and I think there is a question about whether it should actually be a recommendation. Now, Amma is asking or just picking up a few things in the chat room here. A requirement to support all languages scripts would be especially burdensome on local up-and-coming registrars trying to serve the local communities. Yes, That was what came up at the council, which would probably also be reflected on the registrants paying for the services they are or aren't receiving. Yes, whatever anybody says, there is a bit of a suspicion that those charges would end up with the registrants. I would agree with that. Okay, so I think my instinct is to leave it as a recommendation, but the recommendation runs something like registrars can choose the languages and scripts they will support, I don't know, according to their business model or something like that, a redrafting. Jim agreeing with that. I'm adding something here. Not a suspicion, it's a bottom line. Registrars are businesses, not charities, absolutely. And we, you know, we certainly don't want to make life any more difficult for registrars in parts of the world with little internet coverage until now. All right, so coming back to the recommendation, I think, well, we've certainly got enough for a new version of it, probably sometime later today, and perhaps we can now move into recommendation four. The working group recommends that the registrar or registry assure that the data fields are consistent, that the entered contact information data are verified in accordance with the registrar accreditation agreement, and that the data fields are correctly tagged ODIHR to facilitate transformation if it is ever needed. Well, the ODIHR, of course, was the use of the word tag yet again, but if we just start using the word marking instead, maybe that's better. Now, anything else here? I mean, presumably they would be operating in accordance with the agreement anyway, so I'm slightly wondering whether we need to say it. Okay, and some suggestions. We always like suggestions for text in the chat room. Do we mean consistent or self-consistent? So, and we have to sort of think about exactly what the difference between those two things are, so that the what the data fields are logically arranged would be one possibility. The other possibility would be that the data within them is consistent. So I think it might be the latter that we mean, in which case this is not the best way of saying it. Anyway, I'll just clear out one or two little things in the chat room, and then I can see Jim's got his hand. Oh, sorry, Lars has got his hand up. I didn't see that. Okay, so Justine is recommending identified. Yes, I think, to be honest, I'm slightly happier with marked, more because we've used the word marked, that's the only reason. Amma is saying actually he's fine with tagging. Well, I'm happier to be vague because it's not an area I understand very well. So that's why I'm not sure what the advantages are, so I'm retreating into a vague term. That's all that's happening there. Amma is saying, Jim, not sure what you mean by self-consistent. I don't know whether the suggestion I made was correct. Jim, would you like to pick up some of this?
Oh, thank you, Chris. Yes. In fact, Chris, you were exactly headed down the path I was thinking about as I was considering consistent versus self-consistent. For me, the way I would interpret this is to use the word consistent suggests that I'm comparing it to something, something, you know, different than itself. So if I'm entering contact information and all I have is that contact information block, then, you know, what's it consistent to? What does it mean to be consistent? What are you comparing it to that it needs to be similar to? Whereas the idea of self-consistent makes sense to me in this context because, as you were saying, Chris, it's about which fields, the order of the fields, and, in fact, that the fields make sense with each other. So, you know, if I've got an address, it goes to the issue of verified, you know, or the use of the language or script that might be used with the given location that's being indicated. So I'm only looking at all of the elements, you know, in their own little box as opposed to thinking about the elements in a larger context. So that's what I was wondering about with consistent. It was not immediately obvious to me what I was comparing it to outside of the contact information block itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Now, in fact, Amma has picked up an interesting side of this in the chat room because he's saying that actually consistency has a sort of a technical meaning. So consistency is an RAA requirement. Response consistency was also an issue addressed by the FIC, who is PDP in that context. So RAA consistency and response consistency. This all certainly needs clarifying. Sorry to keep you waiting, Lars. Would you like to add something?
Sorry, Chris. No, actually, Jim picked it up, so I should have.
Okay. Right. Okay. And Amma is saying it's consistency in the RAA is against standards made clear in the 213 version of it. And Jim is then saying, if that's our definition of consistency, we should say that. I'm thinking a footnote that defines consistency is needed. Yes. And Justine is saying that self-consistent has a less clear meaning than consistent. Yeah, okay. I think the... Yes, okay, so... So this needs to be a footnote, and I'll draft it based on the chat room. I think that's the best way around this. Make that clear. All right. Five minutes to go, and I think what we might do rather than plunging in, or maybe we start to do number five, but first of all just do a little bit of any other business so that we can make the best use of the time. And the any other business is really just to say that we're intending to complete this discussion on Thursday during the regular meeting, and actually also to ask, is there any other business apart from date of next meeting, effectively? No. Okay, well, in that case, we can at least start to consider number five. Okay, so recommendation number five, the working group recommends that if registrars wish to perform transformations of contact information, these data should be presented as additional fields in addition to the local script provided by the registrant to allow for maximum accuracy. Okay, now, comment in the chat room. Rudy is saying, have we closed the discussion on recommendations 1 to 4? I think so, more or less, for today, but what I'm going to do is draft another version of them probably later today, and that we can pick up on Thursday, because we may find that actually the wording I've got is not ideal or something like that. So I feel that's where we are. Amr, would you like to pick up something?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is Amr. I think it might be helpful to clarify in Recommendation 5 that the local script provided by the registrant is the authoritative set of data elements that need to be subject to the RAA requirements and not the data in the additional fields that is transformed by the registrar in the event that the registrar chooses to transform the data. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, I'm quite glad that we've got that we're sort of finishing at this recommendation, because I think it may need a bit more thought, and it's always good to finish on one which isn't particularly straightforward, because you can then start there and cover it again. So the working group could recommend, if registrars wish to perform transformation of contact information, these data should be presented as additional fields, yes, in addition to the local script. And then what you're saying, Amma, is just that local script is the authoritative version of data according to the RAA. It's the requirements of the RAA, isn't it? It would be certainly good to change the drafting to make that a bit clearer.
Chris, this is Omar. If I can come back to that, please.
Yes.
I just think that especially the last part of the sentence, to allow for maximum accuracy, is a bit vague and may be misleading. It's not reading this, I'm not sure if the intent here is for maximum accuracy of the original script or the transformed data. This could be misunderstood as a maximum accuracy requirement for the transformed data, which I believe we are not recommending to be considered authoritative in any way. I just think it's important to make that explicitly clear here, that the local language and script is the authoritative form of the data that needs to be compliant with the RAA requirements. Thanks.
Yes. Yes, that's certainly very important. I'm actually wondering if we would be better to get rid of "to allow for maximum accuracy" altogether. It's easier if we do that. And then Rudy is just saying, just something that comes to my mind, and this is going back to the first recommendation, how could one see the registrar has transformed the contact data at their own expense? Well, yeah, so I think the idea is that even if people do things at their own expense, that there would be the fields in the database for them to do the transformation there. I mean, there is this other possibility that they do it outside the database, and I guess there are advantages and disadvantages of something like that. If it's outside the database, then you just end up with this myriad of other systems and very, very complicated linking systems. On the other hand, the advantage is that if it's outside the database, then people can structure things exactly as they want. They're not tied down to a particular system which may or may not suit them. Rudy, would you like to pick up something?
Yes, thank you, Chris, Rudy, for the transcript. I hope my connection is stable enough.
Very stable.
Yeah, well, the problem is that in the WHOIS, if you create the WHOIS, you get the contact data engine that has been entered. How could one see that that is the original or a transformed version with the actual status of the WHOIS itself? There is no field available today, so I think it's something that maybe we need to add somewhere that if it's done by the registrar at their own expense, there should be an indication somewhere that that is transformed information.
Yes, for several reasons. Yes, I mean, I would agree with that totally. Okay. And just to pick up various bits and pieces in the chat room, so Amma is saying in response to something similar that Rudy typed, that's an interesting question. The registrant could submit a second set of transformed data that the registrar can display. Oh, my goodness. Yes, okay. And then Sarah is saying, does recommendation number 5 run against recommendation number 3? Ooh. Not sure we've got time to check that now, but we can certainly do it after. Registrant is not necessarily providing local script, but script supported by the registrar. Yes, but I mean, I think the idea is that if you're using a local script, you're going to go to a registrar that supports it. There could be another situation, which is actually quite likely in the short to medium term, where registrars actually, you know, where with smaller languages, you're actually struggling to find a registrar that supports the script. So, you know, then, you know, you're going to have a situation, I guess, where transformation is going to be happening. Okay, then Jim is saying, going back to Amma's original point, what needs to happen is we need to know what is the original authoritative data. Yes, absolutely. Interesting that they use together as well. Okay, and then Jim is saying, then all other data are transformed. It needs to be flagged as such, and the source of the transformation needs to be noted. Ooh, that's interesting. Yes, I guess it does. Source of the transformation, yes. Okay. Then Amma is agreeing with Jim, pointing out that the authoritative set would eliminate the concern behind who transformed the second set of data. But would it though? Authoritative set would eliminate the concern, but the authoritative set probably hasn't been transformed. It's just the original thing, isn't it? It's only maybe we get nervous about transformations when, you know, who's doing it? Have they been rigorous, or have they just done something automatic or something of low quality? I don't know. Then Jim is saying, so the display is two blocks of the same data flagged appropriately. Yes, okay. Yeah. So one is the original and the other is transformed, perhaps. And then Jim is saying to Amma that there's not necessarily a concern about who transformed the data, but I think it would be useful to know the source. Yes, I mean, yeah, okay. Yes. Right. Okay. I think we've made a lot of progress. We're probably more than halfway through, it depends how long we spend on the suggestions, but I think this is probably the time to start rounding off now. Amma is just saying, Well, Rudy is agreeing with Jim, and then I was saying, yes, although the source of the transformation is helpful, do we want to recommend a contractual requirement to display it? Contractual requirement, okay. I think this one may be one for further thought. And yes, so let us end, Sarah is agreeing with Amma. I think this is the place to finish today, and we can then start up on Thursday with a continuation of the debate, and you know, also have a new version of the document in front of us. Chat room to go quiet, and then yes, Jim is saying to Amma, additional discussion would be good. I think it would be helpful, but would like to hear other points of view. Well, we've a couple of days to have a think, and you know, also encourage other members to pick up their points in the recommendations. Quite like to cover one last point in the chat room. Is it true? Okay, so this is Amma saying, I agree that it might be helpful. It does not necessarily guarantee any added accuracy, though this depends on the arbitrary ability of whoever is performing the transformation. Yes. Thank you very much. Let us come back to this, as I was saying, with an upgraded version of the document on Thursday at the normal time. Many thanks for the special meeting. It's really great to make the progress. Goodbye, then.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Jane. You may now stop the recordings. Call is now closed.